whatever attributes you have, your skills, use those. Don't be afraid of them. Don't think, oh, I'm different, because that's what makes you unique. That's what will make you stand out. Honestly, Sophie, when you go to an event and a young woman walks up to you and says, you've really inspired me,
yeah,
it's one of the best feelings in the world, and it makes any of the hard work that you've put in really worthwhile. This woman owns a metal recycling facility that's full of heavy plant, cranes, forklifts, grabs. She has a fleet of HGV vehicles, and they probably would say, gosh, she must be dangerous.
Welcome to Series 2 of the Dangerous Women podcast, hosted by me, Sophie Norris. Our podcast claims the Dangerous Woman mantle, one incredible, dangerous businesswoman at a time. The Dangerous Women Collective is a community of professional women where we celebrate our achievements, support our successes, and champion our contributions to the world of work. On the Dangerous Women Collective podcast, we host in-depth conversations with the brilliant women in our network. And in this series, that includes women from actresses to CMOs, combat helicopter pilots to DE&I trailblazers. Listen to their tales of daring do and hear firsthand the power of zig over zag. We dare you to listen. Today's episode is a big one, and I could not think of a better person to speak to mark International Women's Day 25, the theme of which is Accelerate Action, than Susie Burridge. We are going to discuss issues as wide-ranging as being a woman in a male-dominated industry, representation, women in the environment, and the millennia-old industry which remains as vital today as it did 1,000 years ago, recycling. Susie is one of the most powerful individuals in the global recycling industry today. Susie's list of accomplishments in the industry is long. First female president of the Bureau of International Recycling, MD of her own business. First female president of the British Metals Recycling Association. Vice president of the Global Recycling Foundation. President of the European Metal Trade and Recycling Branch of UREC. And holder of an OBE for services to recycling and the environment. But first and foremost, Susie is a fourth generation recycler. Her great-grandfather, George Burridge, used to collect what was then called scrap metal from his horse and cart in Kensington and Chelsea, which led to the foundation of the business she runs today. She learned the business at the right-hand side of her father, Tom, and it is thanks to Tom and his support that Susie takes such a leading role in recycling today. Susie is a passionate supporter on the good recycling can do for the planet. She advocates for the use of recycled materials whenever possible and represents the good that her industry does for the world. She's also aware that her industry is one that has long been male-dominated and takes her position as a role model and ally very seriously. She wants to see more women in more recycling roles across the world, and that is absolutely something we're going to explore today. So enough introduction. I think we need to hear about Susie from Susie herself. Thank you so much for being here today. I have touched a little on your history and career, but perhaps you can tell us more about yourself. Could we start with what is the recycling industry like and why do you love it so much?
Thank you very much, Sophie, for inviting me to be here today. I'm totally honoured to be here. The recycling industry is fabulous. I just absolutely love being involved in the industry. It's ages old, generations. We're a very family orientated business. Many people are fourth generation like myself. It's been passed down through families, and we're all very, very passionate about it. I think we've been flying a little bit under the radar, so I'm now taking it upon myself to bring us forward into the public domain.
I've worked with you and in the recycling industry since 2017, I think, now, so a while. So not as long as you, obviously, but I've got an insight. And one of the things I find most fascinating, it's kind of like the mega industry that nobody's ever heard about. We're talking about $1 billion businesses and billions of dollars of input into the economy. And yet it's sort of something that sometimes feels a little bit hidden, as you've said, and on the edges of society. And I wondered why do you think that, and what do we need to do to change that?
The UK's metal recycling industry accounts for £7 billion every year into the national coffers. So I think that's, a tribute in itself to how big our industry is. There's, as you say, around the world, there's many businesses in the recycling industry that turn over $1 million each year. I think it's probably gone under the radar because we were, as one of my colleagues always says, we were green before it was fashionable. So whereas people have been flying the sustainability banner, we've perhaps missed the boat a little bit because we've just carried on doing what we've always done.
We talked in the upfront a bit about, you know, the many titles and positions that you held, and we're going to talk about why a bit later. But I guess it's organisations that like those that are really raising the awareness and putting you on the sustainability agenda. Is that part of why you do what you do?
As I say, I'm very passionate about our industry. I really feel that we need to be brought more into the spotlight. The circular economy is being developed now as a concept. So rather than a linear economy in where we bought something, we used it and we threw it away and perhaps into landfill, the circular economy is about goods being remanufactured, reused, resources not being go back into the ground, they're being reused again. And for me, there is no circular economy without recycling. It really is the cornerstone of the circular economy. So we really need to have that heard. We're very heavily regulated. If we don't say anything, we're going to keep getting regulations and the circular economy is not going to be able to happen.
Often on this podcast, what I've found is, we talk about gender and that's one thing, but we talk about diversity and inclusion quite a lot as well. And one, I've been to a few big recycling conventions and meetings like the Bureau of BIR, Bureau of International Recycling's convention. And one thing I do see there is how diverse it is as an industry. And it truly is global. So even though it's different, what you see in the UK is replicated in every country, no matter what its GDP is across the world. You find recycling everywhere. How do you find that diversity? Do you notice that blend and the mix? And is that to the benefit of the industry across the world, do you think?
Yes. And as you say, it's all very similar. The Bureau of International Recycling is the world recycling body. And we hold two conferences a year at different destinations around the world, as you say. We have members from over 70 countries. We represent national associations from 37 countries. We're all together. We all have the one passion, which is recycling. And as you say, we're all doing the same thing no matter what country we're in. We're all collecting recyclables, we're processing them, and we're putting them back into the manufacturing supply chain.
I know you are travelling around the world all the time. So to just see, to be part of such a global industry must be really interesting.
Oh, fabulous. And I have to pinch myself every day for the position that I'm in. I'm recently just back from India. I went to the Indian Recycling Association's conference out in Jaipur, which was fascinating. They actually held the inaugural Women in Recycling meeting.
Woohoo!
Yes.
Good one for IWD. Thank
yes,
you.
Fabulous yes. for IWD.
Yeah.
It was an amazing meeting. There was 30 women in the room, all incredibly passionate about the industry, all super successful. They haven't yet had a woman on their board of their trade association, so we were pushing for that. But fingers crossed that'll happen in the very near future.
Let's touch on that a little bit about women on the board. So whilst it is very diverse, in terms of ethnicity and heritage, it's probably fair to say, and it's certainly from the outside in, it still feels like quite a male-dominated industry. I am sure part of that is because it's the history and how, you know, and it's a very old, there was times when women couldn't have had some of the roles that people have today, and that sort of carries on. So you've been president for...
2 years of BIR.
Amazing, and it's a 4-year stint. So you are very much representing for women in the industry. Have you noticed a change since you become president?
Oh, yes, definitely. I started off actually in my trade associations. I joined the board of the British Metals Recycling Association in 2014.
Even that was a sort of little moment of revolution, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, the British Metal Recycling Association is over 100 years old, and I was the first woman to be appointed to the board. And when I say appointed, they had 5 vacancies and only 5 applicants, and so I was one of them. But I proved my worth, and 2 years later, they asked if I would become president of the British Metals Recycling Association, and that's a position I very proudly still hold today. Since then, I've encouraged 2 other ladies is to join me on the board of the BMRA, and we've set up a young British Metals Recyclers group as well. And I'm pleased to say that within that group we have a 50-50 split between
Amazing.
Females and males. And also within BIR, the global body, we have a young traders organisation, and that's similar as well. So when you go to a young traders event, there's an even split.
This is an industry. And therefore, there's all sorts of jobs. There's, you know, from sorting all the way to being a CEO and everything in between, going up horizontally and vertically. This is the kind of jobs that I think young people should want to do. Where do you think the future of the industry is going?
Oh, definitely there's going to be more women involved in the future. As in the past, there's always been a lot of women. There's last year, actually, I presented a recognition of services to British Metals Recycling to a lady in her 80s who started her own business in Southwark. And her family are now carried on with that business. So, and she also had six children, which was pretty phenomenal to be running a business.
That feels tiring.
It does feel tiring. Yeah, no. Does feel tiring. So we are an industry. We're a growing industry. Young people are much more interested in the planet, and we are so important to the planet. You know, recycling aluminium uses 95% less energy than if you were making aluminium from bauxite. So, you know, we're just so crucial to sustainability and reducing our footprint on the planet. So I think a lot of young people are very interested. When you go somewhere now and you're involved in recycling, people want to talk to you and ask lots of questions. So I think there's a great deal of interest. We need to emphasise the roles. We are an industry, so we need accountants. We need health and safety officers. We need somebody to work the weighbridge. We need HGV drivers. We need crane operators. We need
chemists,
engineers, inventors. Yeah. It's a very high-tech industry. We have lots of really good sorting equipment, optical lasers, all different types of equipment, high tech. So, you know, we need innovators for these kind of things and scientists, as you say, to bring everything to fruition.
It's brilliant that brands, big brands, sports brands and high fashion brands and others talk about the recycled goods that they use and how important it is, and they make a really big play of it. Yet somehow at the beginning of that life cycle, we've forgotten to do that. So I think if we need to champion the entire life cycle of recycling a bit more. And I think there's a role for, I think women are always brilliant champions. So perhaps it needs a woman to, like you,
yeah,
to do more of that.
Well, that's what I'm hoping to do. I think one of the things that we have to note with the brands is that they are using recycled materials, and they're perhaps announcing those credentials that they're using recycled materials, but they're not thinking about the end of life recyclability, and that is vitally important. If we want to be circular, then we have to be able to recycle the product at the end of its life.
End of life basically means making it as easy to break down as it is to build, right?
Yes.
So that you can take the component parts away. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I have children who are 18 and 21 now, and this sort of stuff, they might not know they're talking about recycling, but they are talking about it all the time. So let's just hope that grows and grows. I think it's really fascinating.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. So before moving on to you and Danger, talk to me. You've been president for 2 years now, and if I'm right, your presidency is split into two phases. What have been your highlights of phase one, and what are you looking forward to in phase two?
Phase one, one of the highlights was I decided to introduce an industry magazine, which we called The Recyclist. It's been a great experience for me because, you know, my day job is running a metal recycling company. We don't get to produce many magazines. So it's a lovely glossy publication.
Recycled paper.
Yeah, with made from recycled paper, exactly. Yeah. It's just been a great experience. I've also pushed through that we're, as a global organisation, we're producing global position papers, so on extended producer responsibility, about the continuance of global trade so that it can carry on unrestricted. It's just been a great thing. I've been to conventions all around the world. I've been invited to be keynote speakers in places that perhaps aren't perceived to be so welcoming to women, such as India and the Middle East. And I've been asked to be keynote speakers there. So that's been a great highlight.
And I think it's fair to say that your presidency has been super hands-on, right? So you like to sort of follow my example is almost your attitude. Is that right?
Well, if you want someone to help you do something, you've got to put the effort in yourself. And I think if you're passionate about something, that passionate rubs off onto others. And I've been surrounded by a superb team, both voluntary and the secretariats. And, you know, as I have been as well in the British Metals Recycling Association. And I'm also involved in the European one, and there's a fabulous team there as well.
Just listening to you, we know that you run towards anything to do with recycling that's going to help promote the benefits of recycling, about being a woman in recycling, about metals recycling, which is obviously particularly close to your heart. Do you think that makes you dangerous? And what does being dangerous mean to you, I wonder?
Well, I think if you said to someone, this woman owns a metal recycling facility that's full of heavy plant, cranes, forklifts, grabs, she has a fleet of HGV vehicles, and they probably would say, gosh, she must be dangerous. But I think my most dangerous attribute is that I'm not stereotypical. And I think that I can go into arenas where perhaps we haven't ventured before because of the unique fact of who I am. A woman in a man's world.
So you must have had lots of situations when you're the only woman in a room. So that can often feel quite intimidating. How do you manage that when you're walking into a room full of men in suits and you're in your suit, but you're not a man?
I feel very blessed that I've always had, I think that's my dangerous trait, that I can walk into a room full of people. I don't need to know the people. I don't mind if it's all men. I'm perfectly happy. I'm a people person. I love meeting new people. So I actually relish the opportunity of going into a space where there's new people. Being the only woman, it makes you unique. It makes you stand out. And so I use that opportunity to leverage what I want to say, get the point across. I think we have to use that. Often I've been to the Houses of Parliament for meetings and we're talking and then I say, oh, in my scrapyard or in my metal recycling facility, and they're like, wow, you own a metal recycling facility, and then you've grabbed somebody's attention. So I think being a woman in what is perceived to be a man's world is actually a real advantage. And I'd say to any woman, if there's a group of men, just walk into the middle and you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Just embrace your uniqueness.
And I think also it's fair to say, and I'm not saying recycling industry is the only industry like this, because I'm sure there are many, but you are surrounded by men who are fierce allies of women, I think, who are very supportive in the main of what you do. I mean, your father, for example, was, talk a bit about how you came, you know, how you worked alongside your dad, because I'm sure that's formulated a bit of who you are today and why you are so fearless. Fearless is a word I've often heard used in association with you. Tell me about that.
My father was fearless, and I think he instilled that fearlessness in myself. He would take me along to meetings when I was younger. Initially, I had a place to study chemistry at Southampton University, and I took a gap year, and he persuaded me to come and work along with him during that gap year. When I was younger, I was like, I'm not going to be in the metal recycling industry. I wanted to do something else, I thought. And then once I'd been in the industry for a few months, I truly had the bug and I didn't want to leave. He took me to every meeting. I was never left outside. I was always taken in and sat at the boardroom table, which was a great opportunity.
So this is when you were 18-ish?
Yes.
Yeah, so
from 18.
Formative, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And in my school holidays when I was younger, I would often be taken to the yard with him and see what was going on. And
well, do you have photos? We need photos of this. It must be.
And I think I was a real tomboy, and you know, liked the vehicles, like the lorries, and yeah, I used to like to sit in the lorries and listen to the CB radio and that kind of thing when I was younger. So he'd let me do that.
I guess it gave you a veneer, not a veneer is the wrong word, but sort of, you know, like in the Ready Breck Man, they have the glow. You had a recycling glow from the beginning, so you're respected for your knowledge and deep family connections into the industry, not just because you're a woman, which must make it a bit easier.
Definitely. And I think when I first went to my first ever board meeting of the BMRA, the British Metals Recycling Association, and I walked in the room and there was 17 men there, and I actually knew the majority of them because I'd already met them all with my father previously, so that made things a lot easier. So I think, you know, if you can go to meetings, tag along, meet as many people as possible. And I think the recycling industry, the people are very friendly. It's sometimes difficult. I've heard ladies say, don't be afraid to put up your hand and ask questions. And that might be daunting if you're in a meeting situation. But I think after the meeting, if you talk to someone on a one-to-one basis, they're always willing to share their expertise with you. And I've found that they've all been very supportive. And I always think, you know, every man has a mum who they love. So, you know, they've all got one woman they love. So, you know, you've got a half a chance that they like women.
Oh, yeah, I do. They all definitely like women. It's just the balance is probably not quite there. And that's something to work on. So how do you think we start to address that? Is it in these explaining these new roles that are moving forward? Some industries set these 30% targets, don't they? How do you feel about that?
I think it's quite difficult to set targets. I'm very much an advocate if someone is suitable for a job, then they get the job regardless of whether they're male or female. I think you need to earn it. But we need to have gender equality so that if there is a man and a woman and the woman is better fit for the job, then the woman gets the job. So that's, you know, what I'm really passionate about. We're fortunate here in the UK that we do have gender equality a lot more than we do in other countries that I visit. So I think we need to embrace that we have our gender equality here and push that forward. I mean, recently I advertised a post for an HGV driver, had 50 applicants, but unfortunately there wasn't one woman amongst them. So I think maybe a lot of our roles don't appeal to women. So maybe there might always be a gender bias towards men because it appeals to men more. But I think if there's options for ladies to join the industry, the offices have predominantly been run by women, the Weightbridge offices. So I think, you know, there's always been women there. And I think with legislation becoming more apparent as well, women seem to deal with that better than men. Well, they do in our industry anyway, and understanding it and filling out forms, etc. So that's, I think that's where the opportunities lie in other roles rather than actually the hands-on. I don't think it appeals to women as much as it does to men.
I think it's almost a re-education job, and that needs to start from the get-go so that children, no matter what gender they are, think driving in a lorry is as cool, whether you're a boy or a girl or whatever you are. And we haven't somehow quite got that right yet. Do you notice differences, variances in gender balance as you travel around the world? Do you gain from experiences from seeing things in other countries, and particularly perhaps where you think it's more male, or are there things that you wish you could address without picking on any specific place?
I think it would be good if they could have representation on their boards of their trade associations. I think some countries, they don't have hardly any women working in the industry at all. They've all been incredibly welcoming. I've not faced any discrimination when I've been at the recycling conferences, you know, from anyone there. So they're very keen now to embrace gender equality, I think. But, you know, some things, these are cultural, and that takes a big shift.
Part of it is this, the enormous amount of privately owned, family owned businesses in the industry where you do maybe pass it on to your son. And in some cultures, it's easier to do that than in others as well. You belie that fact, don't you?
But well, I'm an only child.
Don't tell anybody.
So I would say that maybe if my father had had a son, the story might have been a little bit different.
But it wasn't.
Oh, yeah, no. And often I used to say to him, oh, gosh, you'd be better off if you had a son. And he'd say, no, you can do everything that a boy could do.
Oh, so amazing. My father was like that too. And I've always thought, even now, I've always think, I could still be an astronaut I'd be a terrible astronaut, but I could still be an astronaut if I wanted to be, you know, he was
just anything
you want to be. And I think behind every dangerous woman, there's a pretty spectacular dad often who puts these values into us from our get-go that, you know.
And a mum.
Screw.
My mum.
Always a mum.
My mum's great. She's my biggest champion.
Oh, no, yeah, but I'm just talking about fathers now. But yeah, but who make you think that you can do whatever you want. Particularly our age, I think, because we're not a dissimilar age, where, you know, in the 70s and 80s, perhaps that wasn't quite so common, yet our fathers bucked the trend a bit. So, Susie, what would you tell your younger self about the power of being dangerous if you could?
I think I was always dangerous, actually. I was probably more daredevil when I was younger. I mean, I used to ride race horses, and I remember going on a hen do, and we got the chance to jump off a 10-metre waterfall, and I was straight off it. Wow. So I've probably toned that down a little bit now. As I say, I've always loved people, going into a room, talking to people. So I'd say you're doing the right thing. I think I probably worried that I hadn't gone back to university, and I now realise that that would have been totally the wrong path for me. So I think you had just embraced the opportunities that come your way. Just give everything your all, and you never know where it's going to lead you.
So that's sort of the message that you'd give yourself, is don't worry about what's next. Just seize every opportunity. I've done about a few of these interviews now. So all women from all different industries and walks of life. And one thing that, again, seems to be common across all dangerous women is that they sort of, even if they don't know what the opportunity is in front of them, they will grab it. They're opportunity grabbers. And it seems to me that you're one of those people as well.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, amazing. Do you think you become braver as you've got older? Do you think the younger you could have stood on a stage in front of hundreds of people talking about recycling?
Yes, probably, but I think this older one gets more nervous than the younger one would have. I think you've become more aware of your responsibilities as you get older, whereas when I was younger, I would have just been up there and not worried. But when you're representing an industry, you feel I feel the burden of that sometimes, that you know you don't want to let people down. I think that's probably my biggest thing. I don't want to let people or the industry down.
So a sense of responsibility of, yes, the roles that you carry. And you carry many. So you are always on stage in some ways. How does that feel?
It's a great opportunity, and I'm very privileged to hold the roles that I do. When I became Bureau of International Recycling president, they asked if I was going to stand down from the British Metals Recycling Association. And the Brits said, no way, we're not losing you to the International Association. So I was kind of kept on, but they all feed into each other. So it's really important for me. You know, I have my own company, so I know the issues that are happening within my own company.
So almost grassroots level.
Yes, yeah. At grassroots level. Yeah. And then I work within the national level. So you know different legislation or regulations that are coming in that are going to affect the industry as a whole. And then I feed into the European group, where I'm the president of the metal trade and recycling part of EURIC, which is the European Confederation of all the recycling streams, paper, plastics, metals, all embraced under the EURIC banner.
As somebody who's such a hands-on individual, I feel like you're a let's lead by example, just not tell people what to do. So does having all those leadership positions, those presidencies and those, does that help with that?
Oh, certainly, because I think if you're passionate about something, that passion rubs off onto someone else. I'm so proud of this industry. You know, I'm fourth generation. And when I sort of think, my great-grandfather, he was, you know, as everyone travelled in business in those days with a horse and cart, but he was, you know, with his horse and cart collecting metals that were being recycled. And at those times, then they would be used for the war effort.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a vital industry. And, you know, I often wondered what he would think if he saw me today, you know, stood up in rooms full of people.
Did you ever meet him? Were you born when?
No. But obviously I knew my grandfather.
Yes.
And, you know, I can't imagine that he would have envisaged that I would be leading the World Trade Association. That's pretty phenomenal.
I mean, you are literally one of the most important voices in recycling at the moment. What you say is listened to. How do you feel about that?
It's a little bit of a burden. But it's one that a challenge that I'm prepared to rise to. If I can play a role in making this industry gain its place on the world stage and be recognised for the vital industry that it is, then my work will be done.
The industry, because it is so old, I mean, you know, they were recycling when the pyramids were being built, literally. It is constantly evolving. It's constantly on the move. It's constantly reinventing itself. It constantly feels like it's in transition, whether good or bad. You know, some legislation is sometimes tough, but actually we've never been more aware of net zero and the sustainability agenda and what we need to do to save our planet. And it just feels the industry should have more of a voice in mainstream media. It's a gritty, big industrial industry, and sometimes I don't feel you're heard as much as you can. So what would you say to the media?
Come and talk to us.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. Yeah. I think, you know, we want to be heard more, and I know it's sometimes the not such glamorous part of recycling. You know, the products feel more exciting, the manufactured goods feel more exciting, but without what you're creating, they wouldn't exist.
No.
So we're missing out a huge part of the story.
Exactly.
I think women are natural storytellers. So maybe this is the time for it to be cracked with some more and more women coming into the industry, which is fantastic. That's not to say men can't tell the story too, but just change sometimes needs a change of voice too. You definitely work, as we've just said, in quite a roughy-tufty industry, you know, where you're the stuff that makes bridges and cars and keeps the world moving forward. At the moment, the balance still seems to be more male than female. But often, again, you're thrown into situations when you're the only woman in the room or one of a few women in the room. I know you manage it super well, but not everybody does. So I wondered if we could just touch on advice you might give for people. For example, if a young woman upcoming is going to her first board meeting and she walks in and she's the only or one of a couple of women in the room, what would be your advice to her?
Embrace your uniqueness. You know, use that to your advantage. We used to use it to my advantage when I first started in the industry. We were doing a big demolition job in Essex and we needed lots of HGVs to take the steel from the job to the steelworks in Scunthorpe, I think it was at the time. And, you know, my father used to say to me, you go and ask the lorry drivers if they've got a return load up north because, you know, they'll listen to you. You're young, you've got blonde hair, big blue eyes and a nice smile. Go use it. So I think that's what you should do. Whatever attributes you have, your skills, use those. Don't be afraid of them. Don't think, oh, I'm different, because that's what makes you unique. That's what's will make you stand out. And that's what being in business, you need to network. You need people to remember you. And so use what you have. And so by being the only woman or one of a few women, you are really got the biggest opportunity to stand out.
Where one goes, more will follow. So, I mean, who doesn't want to be a trailblazer? Maybe not everybody. I like being a trailblazer. I think
me too.
You quite like being a trailblazer. So, you know, there's that sense of I do this, then I'm opening the door for other women to come and do this after me, which is a
I really hope so.
Have you had feedback from women at any of the events and stuff you've been to?
Honestly, Sophie, when you go to an event and a young woman walks up to you and says, you've really inspired me,
yeah,
it's one of the best feelings in the world. And it makes any of the hard work that you've put in really worthwhile to think that you've actually just inspired one person. And I'm very fortunate that's happened to me several times. As I was saying, I was at this meeting in India and, you know, several of the ladies came up to me and said, you're a great inspiration. We were hoping you would be here. We were hoping to meet you. And, you know, that's just, you can't put a price on that. It's just amazing.
No, and as I know you don't want to use the word burden, and that's the wrong word, but you know, you have a heavy workload and things, and you know, you're busy all the time. I know she's quite tricky to get hold of sometimes, people, because you're doing every bit of your job all the time. So to hear that makes all those hours and travels and miles worthwhile, I'm sure.
Oh, totally. It's quite emotional when it happens.
As you know, we are releasing this the day before International Women's Day 2025, theme of which is Accelerate Action. I mean, I cannot think of somebody who has really put their heart and back into doing that, certainly in the 2 years that I've known you at BIR, which is the Bureau of International Recycling. Why do you think IWD is such an important day from the recycling industry's point of view?
Well, firstly, we need to celebrate the accomplishments that women have made in our industry, actually in all industries, because, you know, what was it? Not that long ago, we didn't even have a vote here in the UK. And in some countries, women still don't have a vote. So I think the international part is very important, and that we can get that message out there that women can be as good as, if not better, than men. And you know, take leadership roles or any roles. You know, we should really, it's a great day to celebrate what women have achieved and can achieve going forward. And I think a really good thing about International Women's Day, and I've heard some people complain about it, is that people will look around their company to find the woman that's working somewhere. But those women are brought forward. And, you know, even if it is just on that day, and it is because the company wants to put something out on International Women's Day, so they find a woman somewhere within their company. But that's great, because people will see that woman. You know, for that day, that woman is raised up, given her authority, yeah, and she's a role model, you know, and who doesn't want to be a role model? If we can demonstrate that there's one heavy goods vehicle driver within the industry, or there's one person on a picking belt sorting the metals, or if there's one person operating a crane, or one woman, should I say, operating, yeah, a crane, then that's so important. We only need one, and then the doors open and people say, oh, I could do that.
Is it true that there's more women in leadership positions at the Bureau of International Recycling than ever before?
Yes, that's correct. Yes, that's correct.
I mean, you must be feeling a little bit shoulder shaky with that, right? That's,
yes, well, I'm the first woman to be even on their executive committee.
You are proof. If you push the door open, and sometimes you have to push it open, people, or jump through it when it's suddenly opened and you weren't expecting it, make the most of it, because the repercussions are real. And you've noticed that in 2 years.
Yes.
So I'd say that's a quick return. That's a quick return.
Oh, and hopefully there'll, yeah, be more before I'm finished.
Oh, absolutely. I can't believe there won't be. Talk quite a lot about sustainability and that you are passionate, that you work in an industry where, even though it's industrial, that supports the circular economy and sustainable goals. I mean, there's definitely needs momentum, because we're reaching net zero target dates and all sorts of things. Do you think women are important to start to change the narrative on that and hit those dates and make the changes?
Certainly, research has shown that women in leadership adopt a more collaborative and empathetic approach, and their focus on the workplace, well-being in particular, and sustainability and long-term thinking makes them more likely to implement environmental and socially responsible practices.
And have you witnessed that?
You often find that the ladies take on a human resources responsibilities as well, because they're interested in the well-being of staff, which is vital, and of the planet. I think we're more keen for the future generation. It's Mother Earth. We're looking after Mother Earth.
In anything in life, not just sustainability goals, you need to hear voices, different voices. So not just, and I don't just mean male and female, you need people from across the economic divide. You need different races. You need different ways of thinking. You need different sexualities. You need everything to really represent the world that's in front of you. And that involves women and men and hearing a chorus. And I think we're very much part of that chorus. And I think that's really important if you're going to start to accelerate change and accelerate action, which is what this day is all about, which is amazing. Is there an action that you'd like to see accelerated in your industry?
I'd like to see the recognition of the recycling industry as the cornerstone of the circular economy. That's my big passion.
It is. And everybody, I'm saying, Susie is a very articulate, impressive woman. And if there's anybody to tell this story in a fresh way, perhaps it should be a female voice. So again, let's keep shouting from the rooftops, because that it's absolutely fantastic. What is your message to any woman looking to get into what is perceived as a male industry?
Just do it. Go for it. You won't regret it. As I say, embrace your uniqueness. Get yourself in there. You'll have a whale of a time.
So you come from scions of recyclers. So you are woman and girl in this industry. So I'm sure you've got many people who you admire and people you look up to, male and female. But I wonder if you must have a sort of inner core, your dangerous network, if you want, that people that you really admire. Who would your top three be?
If we look back to my childhood and the formative years and when I was at school, I was surrounded by female leaders. We had the Queen, who was amazing. She led the country, never put a foot wrong.
Did she give you your OBE, Susie? Did you receive it from her?
Unfortunately not. I received my OBE from King Charles in his inaugural New Year's Honours in 2023.
Well, that's quite cool, though.
Yes.
And that's in recognition to services to recycling.
Services to recycling
amazing.
And to the environment.
Amazing.
Very, very proud moment.
Sorry, I interrupted, but I absolutely wanted to get that in there. It's incredible. Yeah. I'm proud of you.
Very, 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 very proud yeah. moment.
So, the Queen.
The Queen, yes. And then during my whole of my years of school, Margaret Thatcher was leader of the Conservative Party. And whether you agree with her politics or not, and I'm not advocating for her politics, but she was the first woman to be a leader, Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. She was formidable. She wasn't afraid. She was in a room full of men. And I grew up seeing a woman in a male-dominated place, the Houses of Parliament. So I think that was inspirational. And my third one would be, and you might be a bit surprised, is Mother Teresa. I went to a Catholic school. I'm not Catholic, but I went to a Catholic school, and we were taught about Mother Teresa at the time, and her selflessness and passion for people and her kindness. And I was very lucky last year, again, I was invited to give the keynote address at the Materials Recycling Association of India conference in Calcutta. And I got the opportunity to visit her home and her shrine, which was an amazing thing, because she's, you know, such a selfless person and for the good of the people around her. And I hope I'm doing something good for the recycling industry. And I give my time freely to do that. And so, you know, I think a little bit of that in a very, very small way, I'm following in her footsteps.
Amazing, Susie. Thank you so, so much. It's just been brilliant chatting to you. If people want to learn a bit more about you or any of the associations, I mean, I don't think we can give the list of every single one, but how could they find or connect with you if they wanted to talk to you more or hear about you more?
Yes, I'm on LinkedIn, Susie Burridge OBE. I'm also on Instagram and on X. So all those streams, if you'd like to connect with me, I'd be more than happy to hear from you.
Wow. What a brilliant IWD 25 special that was. And a huge thanks to Susie for taking part. She is perhaps our most international voice to date, as she travels the world on behalf of the recycling industry and the women in that industry. It's incredible to hear her representation is making a difference already. Long may it continue. And thank you so much for listening. It means the world that you're joining our Dangerous Women community. If you enjoyed what you heard, please do give us a thumbs up or subscribe to the podcast. And to find out a little bit more, follow us on the Dangerous Women Collective on LinkedIn.